For 3 weeks, Elvis Presley's album of greatest hits had been the number one album in the nation. 25 years after the guy had died. And I want you to listen to this because in spite of enormous success, Elvis was, according to friends, an unfulfilled and unhappy man. He died of obesity and drug dependency at the age of 42. His wife Priscilla said this about her husband: Elvis never came to terms with who he was meant to be or what his purpose in life was. He thought he was here for a reason, maybe to preach, maybe to serve, maybe to save, maybe to care for people. But that agonizing desire was always with him, and he knew he wasn't fulfilling it. In other words, Elvis didn't have a clue where he began to look. In a sense, Elvis, like many people today, was lost. Let me tell you how big Elvis Presley is even to this day. Elvis Presley is still so popular, he has his own channel on Sirius Radio that plays nothing but Elvis songs. That is success in a human natural sense, but it's clear from studying his life and his history and listening to his friends and his own ex-wife, he wasn't a happy, fulfilled man. Today we're going to continue our study about living with purpose, and that's what this study has been all about, and that's what our small group campaign has been about. We're looking for God's purpose in our lives. Now I want to ask you a question today. Some of you will know the answer, maybe some of you won't, and I want to help you know that answer. And if some of you need to be reminded of the answer today, I want to do that as well. Did you know, and I'm speaking primarily to Christians today, but not only Christians. Did you know that you are shaped to serve God? Now, we've already talked about that. We've already talked about the fact that every human being on the face of the earth is a worshiper. And the reality is we will worship something. But the sad thing about Elvis is that he felt like he had something to do. And you hear this if you listen to the heartbeat of people. Maybe people that have near-death experiences say, I know God's got something for me. I just don't know what it is. You hear Christians say that a lot. I know God has something for me to do. I'm just not sure what it is. I don't want you to make that same mistake, and I don't want to make that mistake for myself. I want to tell you one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is found in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and I'm going to read this verse out of the NIV translation. I love this verse. It says that we are God's workmanship. In other words, we have been divinely woven together by God for specific purposes. Notice this, he said, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I love this part too, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Notice the words to do good works. We're all called to do good works in the name of the Lord. Let me be very clear. We need to understand that we cannot work for our salvation. I don't want to be misunderstood. Notice he said in Christ Jesus. When a person gives their heart and their life to the Lord Jesus, there are good works that God wants them to do, which he prepared before in advance. If you don't believe you've got a destiny and a plan from God, you need to read this verse. I encourage you to read it until you believe. You have a destiny and a plan that God has designed for you, and it's been prepared in advance. You're created to make a contribution and not just to consume. Lord, help me say the right things today to motivate your people and encourage them to hear what you are saying to us today. Every one of us are created to make a difference. And here's the truth that I want you to understand, and this is really good. Because some people get very fearful when you say, hey, God's got a destiny, he's got a plan for you, and he's got it all laid out. Here's the truth. Whenever God gives us an assignment to do something, he never gives it to us without equipping us first. See, a lot of people are being equipped for the next phase of their life right now. They just don't recognize that. They're frustrated and they're angry. You need to go listen to last week's message. God's doing a work in you. God's getting your character ready so he can use you, but we need to understand that. Aren't you glad that He doesn't give us an assignment, but what He doesn't first prepare us and equip us for that? Here's what Job 10 and 8 says. He said, "Your hands shaped me and made me." God has uniquely shaped and designed every one of us, but we are different. Aren't you glad? And do you realize that? And you are designed and you are shaped different than anyone else in the world. You have a unique design that only you can fulfill. Did you hear what I just said? If you at any point decide, well, I'm not going to fulfill my purpose, or you let the enemy get you frustrated and you check out, you know, I think somewhere in the back of our mind we say to ourselves, well, someone else will fill in the gap. Folks, let me tell you, no, they won't. See, you've been created for a purpose, and it is to serve Him. And people will never be happy until they fully serve the Lord. Here's a fact, or maybe a reality check for us. You may not like what I'm going to say, but it is true. God made you unique. You like that part. And your uniqueness, here's what you may not like, is not for you. I know that I preach entirely too much about our culture and the direction of our world, but let me tell you, the more you preach today, if you're a preacher, you can tell every time you're preaching, you can feel the strong winds of resistance greater and greater than you have ever felt before, because when you make a comment like this, this goes totally counter our culture. God, you created you unique and with very all kinds of uniqueness, but it's not for you. Our human nature, and I'll go ahead and call it what it is, that fallen part of our nature and that sin nature says, no, it's all for me. No, it's not. You want to know why there's so much misery and discontentment right now? Because people think it's all about them. And I realize some people have never been taught this. 1 Peter 4 and 10 says this. Oh, listen to me today. He says, each of us should use whatever gift he receives to make a lot of money. Yeah, some of you looked up, you're looking down at your Bibles and reading things. You looked up. No, that's not what it says. It says, each of you or each of us should use whatever gift he received to serve others. Now, I understand that people get weary in their service, but don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean we're to stop serving. I get weary in serving. But I have to realize that God put me on this earth. And again, if people can realize they're in the earth right now, I say it again. I'm going to say it again. You're working where you need to be working. You're doing what you need to be doing. You just don't realize it. Oh, it's true. Some of you don't like that. That's all the response there. And God wants to use you in that climate and in that atmosphere that you're in. It says that each of us are to use whatever gifts we receive to serve others. God has given us gifts, and He's given us talents, and He's given us abilities, and He's given us a background, and He's given us experiences that we are to use to help other people. All of these are for the benefit of other people. Now, some of you may be hearing this saying, well, God's very selfish, isn't He? What about me? Certainly God cares about you. See, some of you, I can tell again by that reaction. I love the reactions. I'm glad you threw that in. Does God even care about me? Absolutely He does. But He's made it clear, if you put Him and His kingdom first, He's going to take care of everything that you need. The houses that people strive for, the jobs that they strive for, the clothes that they strive for, you know, the new latest technology, I mean the iPhone, I mean all these things we strive for, God says He will give it to you if you will put Him first, if you'll learn to serve other people. Folks, I'm telling you, God says, that child of mine understands that eternity is at stake here, and they are putting me first, and I'm going to bless them. That's how it works. See, your purpose in life is to serve God by serving people. See, people say, I am a servant of God. They say, I'm a Christian, but you're hard-pressed to see where they serve anybody but themselves. You serve God's purpose in your life. You serve God by serving people. Again, I always want people to know that I'm real. Sometimes they just think a preacher's not real and they don't understand what's going on in the real world. I do. I live in the real world. When you live in a community the size of ours, you live in the real world. You do. Do you sometimes want to give up on people? Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever have to deal with envy? Do you ever have to deal with anger or bitterness towards people? Let me tell you, you do. That's reality. But the truth is, we're not struggling, as the Bible says, against people. We're struggling against spiritual powers. It's not flesh and blood that we're struggling against. I mean, I want to be real. I just feel like being real. There are people. Oh, I shouldn't do it. The council says don't do it. There are people that irritate us, don't they? I bite my tongue. Folks, let me tell you something. You weren't put here. I just missed the anointing, by the way. You weren't put here just to take up space and get a free ride through life. The way that you serve God is by serving other people. Now, I want you to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to say to them, hey, you're a minister. Come on, everybody, go ahead and do that. Whether you believe it or not yet, you will in just a moment. Because I'm going to crank the heat up at some point in this message. If you don't believe it now, come on, let the words of your mouth and the words of your friend convince you. Go ahead, come on, everybody, turn to them. Say, you're a minister. Oh, some of you are being very sheepish. Go ahead. Come on. Hey, this is Fifth Feast Sunday. We've got a meal prepared afterwards. I can preach on for hours. You'll have to go somewhere else and eat. Here's the truth. Here's what God's Word says. Every Christian is a minister. That's what the Bible says. I got some good news for you today. God not only created us to serve, but He gave us a wonderful model. How many of you know that model that I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus do? Jesus came to the earth and said, this is how you do it. What did He do while He was on the earth? Well, here's the answer. Here's what Jesus did. And you want a model? You say they're not good models today. Who do I follow? Who are the? You know, I hear it all the time among preachers. Who are the fathers in the faith? Well, Jesus is the father in the faith. Jesus is the example that we're all to follow. What did Jesus do when He came to the earth? He did nothing less than serve His every moment that He had breath in His life. From the moment God released Him, from the moment the Holy Spirit came on Him when He was baptized, to the moment He gave His last breath, He was serving people, and Jesus is our model. Matthew 20 and 28 says this. It says, and Jesus said, your attitude must be like my own, for I did not come to be served, but to serve. Now, that's not what we hear on television today. That's not what we hear in the media. That's not what we hear from the politicians when they talk about, you know, the dream. The dream, by the way, the dream is fading real fast in this country. We're going to have to come up with another slogan. What are we here for? Christians. I want to speak primarily to Christians today. What are we here for? We are not here to be served, but to serve. That's what Jesus said. In fact, Jesus said this. He said, if you really want to find your life, He said, you give it away. He said, the person who holds on to their life and consumes their own life, they're going to eventually lose it. Oh, they may keep ticking along in the natural. They may still have blood pumping through their veins. But I'm going to tell you, for all eternity, they're going to lose their lives. I don't want to lose my life. Jesus said, give your life away and you will gain it. Give it to the gospel and to the kingdom. Then you will find what true life is about. See, you know, I could sit here and act like a psychologist today and, you know, just do all kinds of things. I'm telling you how to find life. You do it in serving. And at some point, believers, at least those who confess they are believers, you have to start putting feet to what you say you believe. Well, the time is not right. I'm waiting. You know, Ecclesiastes says, if you look at the weather conditions and wait for everything to be right, you'll never serve. You're here to serve God, and the way you serve God is by serving people. And Jesus gave us the example. Now, if you're going to do this, it takes three things. If you're going to serve like Jesus and if you're going to truly serve God, it takes three things. Number one, serving like Jesus means being available. I really am going to ask for people to pray for me because I really feel some fire in my bones today. And you know, fire can serve a good purpose. It can warm us, but I don't want to burn the people. It's true. Number one, serving like Jesus means being available. Now, one day when Jesus was walking down the road to go to Jericho, he saw some blind guys. They were blind, and they began yelling at him. I believe people are yelling everywhere we go today, but we don't hear the yelling. We don't hear them calling out to us. Here's what it says in Matthew 20, verses 30 through 32. He says, two blind men shouted, Lord, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them, and he said this, what do you want me to do for you? Notice this, Jesus stopped. Do you see that in the verse? Jesus stopped. If you want to be used by God, if you really want to serve Him, you must be willing to be interrupted. Did you hear what I said? You must be willing to be interrupted at any moment and at any time. If we're children of God, when God says stop, this is the moment that I have planned for you today, you're going to be interrupted for a few moments or a few hours or ever how long it takes because I have a divine appointment for you. Got to be willing to be interrupted in life. But oh, haven't you ever experienced that where you respond to God and you let God interrupt you and then you get through that conversation or whatever it is, that service to someone that God put on your heart, and you go away absolutely fulfilled and say, I am so glad I did that. And then you realize, hey, I'm not going to miss the lunch date after all. I'm not going to miss the time schedule after all. God is divine and has a way of working all these things out. You have to be willing to be interrupted if you're going to be a servant of God. It's true. Did you know that most of Jesus' ministry and most of Jesus' miracles were interruptions? Go and study it. The people He healed, the blind man and the lame man, the sick people and the paralyzed man and the dead child and all the people that He ministered to, all of them were interruptions. A lot of people like to study the steps of Jesus, but I say that we should study the stops of Jesus. Oh, we want to study when He went through Jericho, but how about the stops? You want to be used by God? Listen, there's no other way around it. You got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and be willing to be interrupted. Amen? It's true. Number two, serving Jesus means being grateful. Now, we have to be grateful for the opportunity to serve Jesus. And I know that many of you in this church who have experienced what it means to serve, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There is a gratitude in your heart for being able to serve God. It really is a privilege. Again, I will say, are there times where you get weary? Are there times when you want to get up or you give up or you get discouraged? Absolutely, let's be real. But it is an honor to serve Jesus, and we need to be grateful for that opportunity. Did you know that Jesus had an attitude of gratefulness in everything that He did? Do you ever notice Jesus complaining? Do you ever recall Him, you know, getting upset with His Father and saying, hey, you're just, you know, this is a bum deal. What do you mean? God, I have to go to the cross and die. Do you hear Jesus on the cross? Some of you are saying, well, yeah, Jesus was just here 3.5 years. But have you gone to a cross lately? Have you been beaten with stripes? Have you experienced all that Jesus did, and then on the cross, He's still reaching out, He's still serving God? See, if you're trying to malign that story in any way, that means you probably don't have a grateful heart. Jesus was grateful, and He was expressing that to God in everything that He did. Not only was Jesus grateful, the Apostle Paul was grateful. And he said this, he said, I thank Jesus Christ because He trusted me, and He gave me this work of serving Him. Have you studied Paul's life lately? He said, I rejoice in this service that God has given me. I rejoice in the fact that I am called to be an apostle of the Lord Jesus. Have you read his life's story? Have you read his resume? In prison often? He says, in peril often? Beaten by the brethren often? How many times did he receive stripes? Several times Paul received stripes. I mean, they left him for dead once. And Paul is saying, I am so grateful that I get to serve the Lord. You think your life is tough? Come on, let's put this thing in perspective today. I mean, that's just a small list of the things Paul went through. It was a hard life. And yet he said, I rejoice. And I am very grateful for what the Lord has done. Psalms 102 says this, serve the Lord with gladness. We need to be glad about serving the Lord. Now let me say one thing. One thing I really appreciate about small groups, and I'm so grateful. By the way, let me just tell you, we are getting very close to 75% of our people in this congregation now participating in a small group. And I think we ought to just stop and give a great big hoop it up for Jesus. Come on, I want to hear a hoop it up. Oh, come on, do better than that. What's your goal, Pastor? 100%. What's your goal after that? 110% in small groups. 120%. I want more people attending small groups than attend church, because that means if we're doing that, guess what? Small groups are reaching out. But you know why everybody needs to be in a small group? Because you're going to get discouraged in your service to God. And the devil is going to convince you that you're kind of odd and weird, and you're the only one that's experiencing temptation while you're trying to serve, and all these other weird things. And that's the reason you need to be in a small group with people that you spend time to get to know, and you do it often enough and frequent enough, you can relate to each other. I mean, you know, once a month won't do it. We can get together and have a meal together once a month, but how many of you know that's not real fellowship? Besides, if I have to miss 1 month, guess what? That's 2 months before I see you again. We need to be meeting together frequently and often. But we also need to be serving Jesus with gratitude. Listen to this. We serve Him with gratefulness because He has given His life to us through Jesus Christ. That is reason enough right there that we should serve God on our worst day. That should be reason enough. We serve Him with gratefulness because of what Jesus has done for us and what God, through His Son, has provided for us. We need to remember from time to time what He's done for us. And that's the reason I'm trying to encourage us today. He's done everything for us. You know, I preached a sermon on hell not too long ago, and I'll tell you what. The alternative to me, I mean, there's no comparison. I also did a series on heaven, and actually it was one of the sermons in that I preached on hell. By the way, on the internet, we got more hits on the hell sermon than any other. But you know, heaven's a wonderful place, and we kind of forget, well, yeah, one day I'm going to go to heaven. Let me tell you, the alternative doesn't sound very good to me. Hell just doesn't turn me on. And in case you're ignorant enough to believe that it's going to be one big party, I'm here to straighten you out. It's a place where the worm never dies. It's a place where there's an eternal fire. Let's put this thing in perspective. My poor, you know, that's more complaining and griping and whining. And I just want to help us alleviate that today. Sure, you've got difficulties, and they're real, and they're challenges. But I'll tell you what, you're bound for heaven. And God says, in the meantime, when you're going through these difficulties, by the way, if you'll remember what I said last week, God's molding you. If you'll remember these things, it's all worth it when you have to suffer a little bit. But we sure need to serve Jesus with gratefulness. And number three, serving like Jesus means being faithful. Faithful means not giving up. Faithful means that you keep on going even when it's tough. It means, oh, I want you to listen, that you don't quit in the middle of your assignment. You know, sometimes in the real world or in the work world, you get more of a notice of people dropping their assignment than you do in the church. I'm done. I'm through. I'm finished. Well, I did that 4 times last week, but I didn't quit. I did it twice this morning before church started. It means, if you're going to serve, that you are faithful. Now, I want to say this, lest anyone misunderstand me. Is there ever a time for someone to take a break from ministry? Yes. Is there ever a time for someone to change ministries? Absolutely. And there should be a gracious way in which people can do that. People shouldn't feel guilty if really they're getting a new direction in the Lord. The problem with a lot of believers is they just want to go on a permanent sabbatical and they never, and I understand people want to take a rest, but my experience is most of the time, very few of those people ever get re-engaged. It's always later, it's always a different season, it's always a different moon, it's always something, it's a holiday, it's the summer, it's sickness, we got problems. Hey, come on, let's all get in the real world. If you're going to serve like Jesus, aren't you glad Jesus, you know, in the garden didn't just pop up and say, this is enough? You know, God, I'm finished. I'm done. Aren't you glad when they were piercing his wrist with those nails and when they were doing all the things they were doing to him, abusing him and beating him? Do you realize what Isaiah says about Jesus? It says that he was beaten more than any man in history up to that point had ever been beaten. It says that he was unrecognizable. But he didn't quit. And who's our model today? Well, it can be people today because people quit. People are unfaithful. But if we're going to serve like Jesus, it means being faithful. At the end of his ministry on earth, Jesus said this in John 17:4. He said, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do. Now, folks, I want you to be able to say this when you get to heaven. I want you to be able to say, I have completed the task or the job or the ministry or the calling that you gave me to do. I want all of us to be able to say that. And that's the reason we need a sermon like this every now and then, to stir us up a little bit, to kind of shake us up a little and get us thinking right. Because sometimes we don't think right. Jesus didn't give up. Jesus was persistent, and Jesus fulfilled all that his Father gave him to do. I am grateful that he didn't give up. If you're going to be like Jesus, it means you're going to serve as long as you're alive. Now, we all understand retirement in this nation. That's what a lot of the problem is right now. Bless the Lord, I'm going to retire. At least I planned on retiring. And my 401k is tanking, and hey, you may retire, and I hope you're in a position, and I hope your 401k works out for you and all your investments. But let me tell you something, you can't ever retire from ministry. I think there's a little bit of confusion. Well, we retire our work, so then I retire from ministry. No, we never, ever, ever retire from ministry. You may retire from your job someday, but you're never retiring from ministry. Why? Because God wants you to serve Him the rest of your life. How is it that you serve Him? You serve Him by serving people. May your role change. May age keep you from doing some of the things that at one time you could do? Absolutely. You know, at one time maybe you could play a good round of volleyball with, you know, the student ministry kids. Maybe with a little bit of age, that's not it. Well, okay, God's got something else for you to do. Are you hearing me today? If we're going to serve like Jesus, we got to serve faithfully and persistently. And we got to serve all the days of our lives. Amen? 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, the one thing required of a servant is that they be faithful. That they be faithful. Now, folks, God brought you here to Church on the Rock because he knew that you had something to give back. I think you're probably convinced of that again. And maybe that's renewed in your mind. I want to tell you this. We have many, many, many hidden heroes in Church on the Rock. I want to tell you, we've got people who are working today to make Fifth Feast a wonderful thing, and you'll probably never, ever hear their name. One of my frustrations is the inability to get around to everybody that I know is doing something and say thank you to them. I'm so thankful to the Lampies, who I know have been working night and day to get Fifth Feast ready along with Pastor Jim. Let me tell you, they've been doing some other things around here. We've got a little area where we're fixing up a coffee shop. Guess who's been a part of that? We've got a lot of people. The Forsythes have been a part of that. Bob and Ruth in there. What about our host leaders? What about those folks who, in the midst of their lives, are leading small groups and they're dealing with kid issues and having to go to band contests and all? I am so, so grateful. What about the people who work all these different electronics around here? What about these musicians? I am so grateful for them. And I know that you are too. I think we ought to just stop and say, praise the Lord. Come on. I don't want a patty cake. I want a real praise the Lord. And I'll tell you, the greatest heroes to me here are those who work with our children. Who put it on the line and give up an opportunity to be in here in this service and experience the worship. And they made a choice to go and serve the kids. And they do that in our service times. They do that on Wednesday evenings and other times. Those, to me, are some of the real heroes in this congregation. And I'm so very proud of them. And I appreciate them so very, very much. I really believe that the single greatest thing any congregation or the people of God could do is make sure that the next generation has every opportunity to hear the gospel and to be discipled and to be trained by loving and caring people. And let me qualify it by saying, alongside the parents. You know some other heroes we've got here are the parents who are making every effort to raise their kids in a godly home. And that, I tell you, that seems to me now, I thought it was difficult when we were bringing our children up. I think it's magnified 10 times now. You are our heroes. And I really do mean this. And I feel inadequate to express how grateful I am. I think we always need to recognize the people who are serving among us. And by the way, we got many in our student ministry that are involved in ministry. We've got some young guys, I call them the young guns, who have I believe a real legitimate call to the gospel ministry on their lives. Some it's to play music. Some it's to play music and preach. We've got several of those who really, I believe it's a real significant call. And we want to make sure that we raise them up in the Lord. Amen? Amen. But let me just say this, because there's probably someone sitting here and saying, he didn't recognize what I do. Oh, what about our greeters? What about our greeters? To me, I tell you, that's so absolutely vital and so important to come into a smiling face and somebody who's ready to serve. And if you need a direction on where to take your kids or what you need to do to get things situated, to me, that is the most vital, important role as well. See, they're all important. Everything that we do to advance God's kingdom and to make His church shine is important. There are no small gifts. There are no small people. It is all important. It's true. Let the Lord encourage you today. If you've grown a little weary in well-doing, you know this, that if you keep sowing, you keep sowing in the will of God, what does He say? You're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a harvest if you keep sowing and doing what God wants you to do. So finally, folks, if you're going to be a servant of God, you must be faithful. You know, there was a term that was used for years in this church and other churches. And it goes like this: God didn't bring you here just to sit, soak, and sour. I can tell you, and I've been doing this long enough, let me tell you what eventually happens to people who sit, soak, and sour. They become sour. They just sit and they soak. And usually, let me just tell you what else they do. They become the greatest complainers of what you're trying to do to reach people. Why is he doing that? Because I want to, that's why. That's how you got to talk to a sit, soak, and sour. They get sour. Well, why do we have to park over there? Why does he want us to go over there? Just want to be rude and mean and just want to aggravate you. That's why. Because I want to reach the community. And you want to reach the community. Right? I believe we do want to do that here. So everything we do is to bring honor to God and to bring glory to Him. Now, in closing, I want to ask you a question. And then in just a moment, Pastor Jim is going to join me here. And I want you to listen to me. And I want you to take this to heart. You need to ask yourself this. How will God use you? How will God use you? Let's get real practical here today. And I want you to ask yourself, what might my niche be in my church family? What might my niche be? I know many of you have found your niche. You found what it is that God wants you to do. In fact, some of you, I think, have found your niche and some other folks' niche too, and I'm concerned about your ability to keep on going and doing all that you're doing. But you've got a niche. In fact, when Pastor Warren preaches about serving, he preaches about your shape, your spiritual gifts. I know a lot of people struggle, and this is not the message for that they don't feel like they have any spiritual gifts, but oh, you do. Every study indicates you have hundreds of gifts. You just don't recognize it. And usually the thing that comes the easiest for us, we kind of put that aside, think, well, that comes natural and easy for me. Hello? He uses the word SHAPE as an acronym beside the word, the letter S, spiritual gifts. The Bible says that every one of you have been given gifts by God. Every single one of you have been given spiritual gifts. Beside the letter H is heart. In other words, your passion. What cranks your motor? What lights your fire? Ladies, for you, it's like when you eat that rich, dark chocolate, I mean, it just, woo, it feels good and it charges you. What, spiritually, what is it? Let me just tell you where I'm at as a pastor now. What I do rather than trying to generate and make things happening, which will wear you out. Now, certain things we got to do, and you got to motivate people to do them. And it's work. By the way, ministry is work. Do you know that? Ministry is work, and it can be hard work at times. But what I do now is I listen. I listen for people when they begin to talk about their passion. Craig and Connie are the latest example in our church. They said, Pastor, man, we got all this dead space in there behind the foyer. We just really envision a coffee shop in there so people can fellowship there and get together a little bit before the service. I think that's great. You know what? I heard their passion. And I said, let's do it. And we put a little cash behind that. We've got some other people who are talking about things they want to do. And without naming names, I listen for the passion, not the talk. Not the talk. And I don't listen as much to people when they come and say, Pastor, we ought to do. Meaning, you ought to do it. I know we need it in our church. I listen. Don't get me wrong, and I don't have the attitude. But usually, when someone says that, God's putting it on their heart, and they need a little bit of encouragement, and they need discipling in that area. We've got a young couple in our church. I mean, they're so persistent. God is calling us into the student ministry. God is calling us into the student ministry. God is calling us into the student ministry. We want to get in there and we want to help. We're discipling them in the student ministry. We're showing them the ins and outs. And they continue to grow. Guess what? They may be the student pastors here one day. I listen. How many of you remember our missionary to Africa, Susan Mooring, who's out of this church? Kept coming to me and said, I'm supposed to go to Africa and I'm supposed to work. I'm supposed to go there and live. I'm supposed to go and I'm to work with orphans. And this went on for a while. And can I be real? And Susan wouldn't mind this. Most people said, Susan, you're crazy. Susan wasn't, she's not old now, but she wasn't real young. She got this calling, I think at age 60 or 61, somewhere in there. I said, I want to go to Africa. I said, Susan, I believe you're going to Africa. And there she is. And now when Susan comes home for a furlough or a visit, guess what she says? I love this area, but it's not home anymore. Africa is my home. Now that's passion. And then Pastor Rick goes on down, S, H, A, abilities. You're shaped to serve God, and God wants to use your abilities. Some of you have a lot of abilities, and God really needs them in the kingdom. You may never receive a dollar for your service in the kingdom. You might, but you might not. In fact, I'll never forget when Pastor Jeff gave me a promotion. I don't remember what he promoted me to, but it was kind of from this to support pastor. And he said, if some of you were here that day, he said, by the way, his salary is going up from zero to double zero. And then P stands for, I went blank on, personality. Thank you. You all got a personality. I know some of you think you're weird. And you are weird. But God wants to use your weirdness. Wiley, Chuck Todd. We travel with Chuck Todd to distribute Bibles. I love Chuck. I think Chuck would just sit here and laugh right now, just real big. He's different. He's kind of weird. But he has favor with government officials all over the world where people can't preach the gospel. Todd comes in with his weird personality and they let him preach. We get to do things in China. When we go to China, I come back and I'm talking to people. Y'all did that? We had to go and, you know, we were teaching English. You know, y'all got to do that. Y'all got to preach the gospel. You got to train leaders. Yeah, we got to do that because of Chuck's weird personality. He just doesn't know rejection. And then an acronym shape when you get to the bottom. E stands for experiences. Every one of us have experiences. And we really need to use these experiences for the glory of God. Do you understand, as I began, that you are shaped by God to serve God? And in serving God, you serve people? What do we preach all the time here that really our purpose in life? Oh, I want you to hear it again. What is it about? It's found over in Matthew. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your might. But you don't stop there. Then you serve your neighbor. You love and serve your neighbor. You want to know your purpose summed up? Don't be frustrated anymore. If you are, give it to the Lord as we're standing this morning and let God touch you. Don't be mystified. Don't be confused about what your purpose is. It is to serve God and it is to serve people. I'm sorry to tell you this morning, beloved, it's not about your career as much as you think it is. It's not about your hobbies. It's not about all the things that we tend to believe it is. It is about God first. That has to become real to the people of God once again. It can't just be an acknowledgement. It has to become real. And I want to pray with you, and then we're going to share some things with you. We do have some opportunities for you to serve. And we believe they're top priority. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for every one of us today. Well, I believe you've been speaking to us. I believe you've been making it clear that you want us to serve. And Lord, probably some here hearing me today, Lord, who don't know exactly where it is you want them to serve. But I pray you clarify that to them. Father, we all understand what it's like to be hurt. Father, when you get involved with people, you're going to get hurt. But Father, I pray people will move beyond their hurt and beyond their pain. And that won't be a crutch any longer. It won't be even a reality in their life. But that they will realize as they step out and begin to serve you and obey you once again, that in that comes the healing. But in that also comes the understanding that I might get hurt again. Lord, to love means that we may get hurt and that we probably will. But God, you are with us. And you are the one who heals us. And you are the one that will restore us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are opening your heart up to Jesus today? Come on, let's give the Lord a great big praise and honor.